Blueprint Reviews.
And as if the weekends weren't busy enough, you need to know the things you've caught up in and the things in which you've been negligent, particularly in the cultural sphere. So kicking off today's Blueprint Review, RN's own Jason DeRosso is bringing us a piece of cinema that you shouldn't have missed. Let's hear a little sample of Nightcrawler.
I got it, I'm back.
Will this be on television?
Morning news, if it bleeds, it leads.
Are you currently hiring?
Think of our newscast as a screaming woman running down the street with her throat cut.
You will be seeing me again.
A 2014 film with Jake Gyllenhaal. There should be a word for when a heartthrob actor plays creepy, because that's certainly what's going on here.
Exactly. He lost so many pounds for this role, and it's really suited to his character too. He's a loner who, this film is set amongst the ranks of freelance video journalists who are called night crawlers, hence the name of the title of the film. And they essentially, they're ambulance chasers. They chase footage of violent crimes for 24-hour news channels. And Jake Gyllenhaal becomes very good at it, basically. He's a loner who has a particular set of sociopathic and psychopathic skills, really, that mean that he's a really good ambulance chaser. And getting back to my point about shedding the kilos, there's something about a kind of literal hunger in his physical presence on screen that's so suitable for this character, who becomes more and more hungry for footage and more hungry for kind of influence, and influence in particular over this woman who heads a newsroom, played by Renee Russo, who's actually the wife of the screenwriter and director Dan Gilroy. The way and this is Jake Gyllenhaal, starts to play Renee Russo's character is really interesting, because, of course, Renee Russo has been around the block a few times, her character. She knows what she's doing. She's very much in control of the relationship when Jake Gyllenhaal first approaches her, but slowly he is able to turn the tables on her. So that's also a masterful thing about the film. But it's this great sort of city film set in LA, but it sort of sits, I think, cinematically at the crossroads of something like Scorsese's Taxi Driver and Peeping Tom. I don't know if you remember that film, but it's a great film about a serial killer and a photographer. So it's a film that's talking about voyeurism. It's a film that's talking about the insatiable lust for and hunger for fame and influence.
It is that fame kind of media backdrop that elevates this beyond the kind of New York crime drama that you see a bit of. It's got that kind of noir energy to it at times. And then the media stuff just blasts it into a whole different sphere, I think.
I think so. And I also like, I mean, given that it is sort of about voyeurism, it's very much about the person looking. So often we're not really seeing a lot of detail in these grisly sort of car crashes and home invasions and things that this character has come to shoot. We're often seeing, the camera is often on his face as he's looking down the viewfinder, capturing this stuff. And what is the most grotesque thing about the film and these grisly scenes is the kind of strange, fevered look on his face. And, you know, you can just imagine all the sort of twisted, ambitious thoughts running through his head as he's thinking, I've got another exclusive, another grisly exclusive. So, I really enjoyed this film.
Voyeurism is great material for cinema, but I'm not sure Jake Gyllenhaal stays a heartthrob after this role. Thanks so much. There's Jason DeRosso with Nightcrawler, which is available on video on demand platforms. And another of RN's own now with our book tip for what we should catch up on. Kate Evans, what have you brought us today?
I brought you a novel it's a historical novel called Long Bay by Eleanor Limprecht. And like the film that Jason's been talking about, there is crime at the centre of it. But early in the 20th century, the main thing that tabloids followed were trials and criminal trials. And so this novel is based on a real case with a young woman who was imprisoned for performing illegal operations, which means abortions, and a woman died. She was only 23. And so Eleanor Limprecht has fictionalised this case, but she had quite a bit of stuff to work with. But what's nice about the book is that she carries that research quite lightly. So she takes us into Sydney in around 1908, 1909, but you don't see the pile of research next to her the way that you sometimes do.
Kate, it's a funny thing, because this is only Eleanor's second novel. And we've seen this boom in recent years of young Australian novelists turning their hand to quite difficult historical stories and bringing them to life. I'm thinking of, you know, people like Hannah Kent, for example. Is the Limprecht, how accomplished is that history in it?
Very. And it does actually come out of a Doctorate of Creative Arts program at the University of Technology. So I think she's been steered very well as, you know, her own skill as a writer and a researcher. But she has managed to balance, as you say, quite a difficult history quite well. But perhaps I should explain the title too. Long Bay is, of course, the name of the jail, the big house that dominates Sydney. But what I hadn't known was that when it started out in 1908 or so, it was a woman's reformatory. So it was a prison for women. So she takes us into a city that many of us already know and remakes the landscape for us.
So it's a wonderful kind of project to do, but it's also these women's stories. Like you think about kind of Claire Wright's work on the Eureka story, bringing them to life in bits of Australian history where they're often lost is a pretty amazing project. So readable, despite all those kind of worthy things, this is a good page turner as well?
Completely readable. I think I read it over two nights.
That sounds like a glowing endorsement. That's Eleanor Limprecht's second novel, Long Bay, out now from all good bookshops. And that recommendation comes courtesy of the wonderful Kate Evans. You can catch her on RN's Books Plus, 2 p.m. on Sunday. And make sure you stick around. Coming up, our sense of place this week isn't taking us to New York. It's not taking us to Madrid. It's not taking us anywhere but somewhere closer to home. We're going to Canberra with George Miklogiannis. Stay with us.